been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Now I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as well. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Cause out on the edge of dawn, there rides a peace train.
Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome everyone from the existing audience and as well welcome new audience members. Those who are not familiar with my work or my presence, you are more than welcome to go to SashaTalk.com to learn more about me. And as a brief reintroduction to audience members, I do work in the business realm, the spiritual realm, and I may be known among the circuit for doing interviews where I'm interviewing people. You're welcome to check out SashaTalks.com. And for the existing BBS radio members, most of them were introduced to me through my spiritual work, the spiritual talks that I gave, and the fact that I am a professional reader. I did not become a reader. I was born this way. And for those who have followed my journey on and off, you will learn different aspects of spirituality that I used to cover on my other shows. And if you are curious to learn more, you could always just look me up with the type of work I do. Today, we're going to focus on five ways to elevate your flow in life. All of us have opportunities to improve the condition, the state of our life. Again, five ways to elevate your flow in life. Keep in mind that all content presented adheres to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. Now let's focus on what is the flow. The flow is the action of moving along. Now, typically, a flow is steady. It comes in a continuous stream. And for the most part, when we hear about the flow, it could be a positive thing. We're thinking of motion and moving forward. Now, not all flows are healthy, but let's focus on the positive aspect of it. And to make it more personal, what do we have that flows in our life? For most of us, we're blessed with the human body, the physical body. We have blood that flows, water that flows in our body, through our body, air. Air must flow through us in order for us to continue thriving, growing, and moving forward. Think of the nutrition that we consume. And if it's not nutrition, it may be perhaps unhealthy elements that may be feeding and contributing to the flow of the human body. And also as we put things in our body and things that we're born into, and it's just automatic, like breathing, which is a privilege, water, blood, there's also waste. And in order to maintain that cycle of life, there's always motion. And when there's stagnation, that is when the body in this context will exhibit symptoms to grab our attention. Now, I'm going to focus more on the flow, the energetic flow of the mind, the heart, the body. So let's get started. The first one that came to mind is communication. Whether you're communicating in the virtual world or the real time, face to face. Face-to-face on camera or face-to-face, whether you're in a meeting, you're meeting with a loved one, you're hugging someone, you're shaking hands, and it doesn't always involve touch. But by face-to-face, I mean real time. You're walking down the street and you run into someone. Now, in a world where we're so heavily connected, thanks to technology, we have so many people that we can communicate with just because they're our audience members out there in our life. I'm talking about life, not in the media and entertainment realm. With all these people in your life, whether you have them virtually in your circles or in your physical life, are you really being heard? If you have all these people in your life, are you basing it off quality or quantity? Are you listening? Are you listening to the actual message that people share with you? People are talking constantly. Do you have an internal filter when you decide to just step out of that? Or are you listening only when you like what you're being told? Because oftentimes at the type of work I do, even though I work with groups of people, could be companies or individuals, when people come to me, especially for the spiritual reading aspect of it and the counseling aspect of it, I smile because I could tell people will hear what they want to hear. They will see what they want to see. They will feel what they want to feel. And whatever may come through in the messages, if it goes against their storyline in their mind that they've told themselves, whether it's fantasy, whether it's lying, because there are many people who lie to themselves because it is a protective defense mechanism from acknowledging reality. Now, reality is dictated by how you perceive things, not the mainstream reality that I'm talking about. And if you keep on enabling bad behaviors, even through how you listen, then you're going to be feeding these energy blocks. If you're not initiating them, you're already enabling the existing energy blocks to grow bigger. So when it comes to communication, what type of listener are you? Are you a good listener? Do you have some work cut out for you? For example, for myself, I always have to put in the effort to become a better listener. That's just me. I accept that. Some people make it easier for me to listen to them, not because they're telling me what I want to hear, but it's just the environment. You have to become aware of what type of communicator are you and where you could do a better job. Now, the other aspect of communication has to do with speaking. Do you say what you mean and mean what you say? We have to keep in mind that in the world of globalization, there are so many different types of people that we cross paths with. We may speak different languages, or we could even speak the same language, but how we speak could have a whole different meaning in terms of interpretation. Do you speak in a positive manner, or do you speak in a negative manner? When people are speaking to you, are you receptive to what is being said, or are you dismissive? Another aspect of communication is writing. Some people are better at writing than speaking. And I'm talking about speaking in your day-to-day life. You don't have to be a professional speaker, just speaking. Some of the people that I've had the privilege of meeting in my life, they could send me a note and be talking about taking out the trash, and they have the gift of writing. It might sound so menial, but I want to hear more about it because they just know how to capture your senses and the human experience. When you write, are you writing for business? Are you writing for personal pleasure? Are you writing on gratitude? Do you write to entertain? What type of communication do you like to participate in? Now, we also have to keep in mind that when we write, whether it's virtually or the traditional pen and pad and paper, words can come off to be dry at times. Now, the body language. I've given talks on body language over the years, and I believe as a professional reader, I'm guilty of this. I kind of roll my eyes because there are so many different books that have been written from a scientific perspective. It could be from many different angles and niches that cover body language and how it is important, the significance of it. Now, I respect it. I understand that. But there are a lot of people out there who also could mimic those body language to convey a certain message, to attain a certain goal. And as a reader, I typically discount body language because I go based off what spirit will tell me about that given situation, whether it has to do with a person, place, thing, the environment, the challenge. And at least 80% of the time, from my overall life experiences, what comes through spirit will conflict with the body language that is being exhibited. You have to remember, there's a lot of authenticity out there. You'll find what you go looking for. But at the same time, there's a lot of charlatans out there. And then you could tell there are those who have good intentions and they're doing the best to make it happen. So for those reasons, I'm not going to comment much on body language, but it is important that you want to engage in proper posture. You want to work on your self-esteem. You want to nurture your confidence. All I'm saying is, out of all of the elements of live communication, human communication. Body language is something that I acknowledge. It is important, but I don't put too much weight on that because I work in many different types of settings. And when you pair body language up with human emotions, let's say you're having a bad day or you're going through a state of grief, uncertainty, anxiety, it can indirectly impact how you want to convey your message. Now, another aspect of communication. How are you in providing feedback and receiving feedback? Now, for some people out there, you might be more familiar with this in a professional setting or an academic setting, on for those who nurture their relationships, healthy relationships with people, if you're fortunate to have those that are going to provide sincere and honest feedback. Some people may be wondering, how could you offer feedback with love? The very first time I came across that in a business setting, I was skeptical of that too, because there are going to be days when you're going through life and the last thing you want to bring to the table when you have to share a message is love. Being able to improve in this area will also help you improve in resolving your conflict avoidant issues. Because I work with many different types of personalities, there are those that are conflict avoidant. For the sake of avoiding conflict, they will do everything in their power to either avoid the situation, avoid the people, smile through it, hide behind an email, then pick up the phone call or show up in person. I mean, I have, when I started out my career path, I recall working with a personality and I used to represent them to a degree. Conflict avoidant, anything that had to do with employees or the lateral management, anything. Whose plate did it end up on? Anybody's plate but theirs. They did not want to talk about money. They did not want to talk about decision making. Anything that popped up, of course, when you're coexisting with human beings, whether it's under your own roof with your family members, friendships, business partnerships, any other human being outside of you, it's only a matter of time. There's going to be some difference in opinion, a difference in decision making. Differences do not equal conflict. Conflict is not a bad thing. Half of the time, I see when conflicts sprout out of nowhere, it's a blessing in disguise because you'd rather know the truth sooner than later. It's going to how you handle it will tell me a lot about how comfortable you are in your skin, how well you know yourself. How well can you communicate with others in a respectable, dignified manner without compromising who you are or going against yourself? And ultimately, this is something that I have to keep in mind. Words have power, whether we say them, whether we write them, whether we listen to them. I grew up in a home where my mom has always been a stickler about being mindful of your words. Are you speaking life into your environment, or are you slowly killing yourself by self-sabotaging your well-being by the type of words you use, by the type of words you say out loud? It's not only about what you say to yourself about yourself in your brain, but what how do you speak of yourself? If you don't take care of yourself, how am I going to be able to trust that you're going to be able to take care of other people if you go seeking an opportunity? How you take care of yourself is an indicator of how other people are going to treat you, how your environment may respond. Keep in mind, I'm talking about a response, not a reaction. Reactions at the end of the day don't help me do anything. When I'm working with people, I need a response that will also help you determine the direction that you're moving in. And ultimately, most people desire to move forward. But when you move forward, I also want to make sure that you're going to be able to sustain that progress. And one last note about communication with all different types of cases that I get to work on. Some people get so hung up with this obsession of being right at all the right times. You want to be right every time, every day. And you think it's cute. Your lover may think it's cute. Your friends might think it's cute. You have to keep in mind that there are going to be a lot of people in your life that are going to come and go and enable you, whether you have stupid ideas, or you're going to engage in self-sabotaging behavior. You're not looking for movement, you want progress. Progress will actually take you into a new chapter of your life. Movement could be very subtle. It might cheer you up. It might make you believe that you've moved mountains when in fact you haven't even started the race towards actualizing your goal. So never get fooled by movement when you're looking for progress. And ultimately, if you're really busy trying to outsmart the world, when are you really living? So these are a few tidbits. These are a few tidbits for reflection as we move to number two. And thank you for being patient because I'm dealing with sinuses today. Your health. Pay attention to your mind. Is your brain getting any rest from the noise of the world? Are you always connected to social media? Are you engaging in every type of technology that is available out to you? Technology is not bad. It is a tool like any other. What you do with the tool will dictate whether it's going to enrich your life or is it going to slowly start depleting you of your essence of who you are. And pay attention to how you engage with life around you. The mind responds to what your senses pick up. What do you see every day, whether it's online, offline? What do you hear? What do you surround yourself with? What do you feed your ears? What do you feel? And I'm not talking about necessarily emotions, but the energy of people in your environment. What are the smells that you surround yourself with? And if you do touch things in your life, are you touching them with care? Are you touching it with love? Those things are very pivotal. Now look at the physical. If you don't use the body, you're going to lose it over time. It will start aging. Aging is not a bad thing. It's a circle of life, but you're going to start feeding stagnant energy towards it. So getting natural nutrients from the sun, investing time in the outdoors. You don't have to like the outdoors, like going camping and all. I'm not a fan of that either, but you can still interact with the outdoors by hiking. Instead of playing at an indoor gym, you could play basketball outside. Get fresh air. Get your natural vitamin D if you can. And keep in mind that in order to improve your physical health, depending on what your situation is and what your goal, you don't necessarily need money to do that. You don't have to join a gym in order to be healthy or to get fit. There are so many different creative ways of going about actualizing a goal. So explore your options. Now, whatever you go about making a change in your life, I always tell men and women, and including teenagers at times, if you're going to do something, make sure that you're doing it for yourself first and not in a selfish manner. But if you're going to go improve your health or get the body, for example, of your choosing and your liking, more power to you. But do it because you desire to do it, not because, for example, your spouse wants you to look a certain way. Because if you're doing it for other people and then you reach a point where you're going to start resenting yourself when you start doing things for the wrong reasons. Now, another thing about the physical body is, do you allow your skin to breathe? What type of clothes do you wear? Now, I know that depending on the type of work that you may do or the type of lifestyle you live or geographically where you invest your time, that dictates to a degree of how we dress ourselves. This has nothing to do with money or name brands or none of that. But basically just paying attention to how do you dress yourself. When I started paying attention to how I would dress myself, especially when I would fall asleep or go to bed or have a long day, I realized possibly wearing the least amount of layers when going to bed made it easier for me to fall asleep. I had a better quality of sleep. What type of fabric or what type of texture was I wearing? You want to make sure that whatever you do with the physical body, we allow it room to grow and focus. Just think about what happens when you put on an outfit and you feel all boxed in. Let's say you're attending an event. I know some people men who don't like to wear suits, but they'll wear it when they need to, but they don't want to be boxed in all day long. Dress according to how you're able to thrive. And of course, in a dignified manner where you're aware of your environment and your settings. And it's important that you allow the physical body to align with life. Now, pay attention to how you breathe. Pay attention to the air you breathe. Now, one of the things sometimes I forget is I like soft scents. That itself can be calming, that you don't have to necessarily change everything in your environment to calm yourself down. Pay attention to the scents that you surround yourself with. People rely on just burning a simple candle. If that will calm you down, that will also help you regain your focus and elevate your energy. Remember, we're focusing on how to move forward and improve our flow. And then another aspect of our physical health, the inside where you could enhance your flow is fasting. I grew up in a home where I was introduced to dry fasting from a very young age, but that was more for faith-based reasons. So over the years, how I fast has evolved, even though I do the dry fasting and I have a Christian girlfriend, she does fasting, I think 2 weeks a month. Hers is a little bit different. She does it liquid based. There's dry fasting, there's intermittent fasting, there's liquid fasting. And then there are those who do it for health reasons because they may need to. And then there are those like myself who choose to fast on and off because it definitely helps me maintain the inner workings of the physical body. And it also helps me maintain and nurture the mental health because it helps you focus on other aspects of life. And it's not only about abstaining from food, but your physical body also needs rest so the cells, the inner body could heal. We live in a world today where there are some people who are going to be constantly eating around the clock during their waking hours. When does the body get a chance to rest? Now, there's nothing wrong with having many meals, and there are people who train for health, fitness, different reasons they have to do that. There's nothing wrong with it, but I'm talking about just a general food for thought. Now, if you have any medical conditions, this is something that you need to discuss with your medical practitioner. That is solely the listener's responsibility before entertaining anything that you do that requires you to put something in your body or on your body. Be mindful of that. And just because someone told you to do it, doesn't necessarily mean you should do it because there are a lot of people out there who wake up one day and they go about healing people. And that really concerns me because in most cases, people could invest less resources, time, and money and go to somebody who is licensed and they have spent a good portion of their career studying the concerns that could help you answer your questions. So be mindful of where you get your information from, because information is created by the people, and I'll leave it to you for that. And always remember, emotionally, mentally, and physically, we are apt to be resistant at times. You're a human being, it will happen. But when you're resistant, that is often conveyed through your thoughts, your speech, your actions, or your lack of actions, and how your internal state is reflected through our physical form. I know that when I go through these involuntary phases of being very physically active due to a demanding lifestyle that requires me to be in a few places in a short period of time, I start showing it in my physical form. So I'm still eating healthy, I'm still taking care of myself, but I may look a bit more leaner than I would like. Now, on the other end, if people manage stress differently. Some people may be, this is a very strictly a general example, so don't read too much into it. If someone is an emotional eater, they might be coping with their anxiety just by eating. So they might perhaps gain a few pounds. Everybody shows it differently. It's not necessarily through food. It could be taking up behaviors that turn into lifestyle habits that are unhealthy. Some people may go for shopping therapy. Another person may be gambling, or it might be relying on recreational substances, not out of curiosity, but a form of sustenance. Is there a right or wrong answer? No, but you do need to figure out what is going on. You don't want to get to a point where you wake up, well, better late than never, but you wake up and you realize, why am I so off my desired path in life? The good news is that in most cases, there are solutions available. But the catch is you want the solution more than anyone around you in your life. Because if you do it for somebody else, it might work in the short term, but sooner or later, you're going to revert to the bad habit. If they're not bad, they just may be unhealthy. Now, next, another way of elevating your flow is faith. I'm not talking about organized religion. I'm talking about, are you a positive or a negative person? A belief system that aligns with your purpose. Do you mean what you say, and do you say what you mean? Are you having a bad day, or are you just a negative Nelly? You weren't born that way, but you became that way. And which is why I often tell my clients, I don't care what you were born into or what you were born without. What matters is what are you doing with what you were born with? Like attracts like, whether we like it or not. It could be situational, and for some other people, like attracts like in terms of relationships or the type of bosses you work for or the type of money patterns that you've developed over time. You can blame others for choices that you make. How you feel and how you think is your choice. You're not entitled to anything. No one owes you nothing. Doesn't matter, again, what you have or what you don't have. Out of the blue, people come out acting all entitled that because they're living a certain way, they are owed something. And I often ask them, what have you done for yourself? And then there comes that pause or that blank face with a smile. Now, the next aspect about faith, I thought of happiness. I don't know where this happiness brigade propped up in the last decade or more. It's been going on. But it has gained a lot of momentum in the last decade, to say the least. Happiness comes from within. The first time I heard it and grew up around it, I went, okay, this is a little bit too foo-foo talk. But many people out in life chase happiness and they don't realize it is truly within you. Some people chase relationships. Some people chase money. Other people are going to chase just the whole idea of movement. They think that if they move around from one job to another, they're healing some situation or that angst. If they jump around from one relationship to another, they're treating the act of movement as a form of healing, and it doesn't heal anything. It just starts snowballing whatever challenge that you're dealing with. Because all of these situations in our life have one common denominator. If you really get honest and think about the patterns, whether they're your relationships, whether they're business decisions you make, the type of people that you have invested in, and you went, okay, not my best choice out there. They all have one common denominator, us. Whether it has to do with money patterns, where you gain money, you lost money. Anything it has to do, it trickles down to the one common denominator in your life. Keyword, your life. That would be you. And another aspect about this happiness I have to remind people is don't fall prey to when this happened, then I will be happy. When I get this, I will be happy. When you start turning your happiness health into a conditional relationship, I could pretty much guarantee you're going to be very unhappy. You think you're happy. No one's going to tell me how to be happy. And people get very defensive. And I tell them, all of these things around you, it's not their job to make you happy. It's not other people's job to make you happy. You need to seek that out within you. And it can be bought. Comfort can be bought. And the comfort may bring you happiness as a form of distraction, but it's not the source. Worrying doesn't do anything. It actually empties out your cup of blessings and positive energy by thwarting your attention. And when it thwarts your attention, it distracts you from moving forward. I have met so many people, and once upon a time, I call it a past lifetime, I was notorious for being a worrier, thinking that, okay, if something isn't panning out, I'm going to worry. And the act of worrying may make me think I'm actually doing something. And actually, what I was doing was stagnating the energy for any progress to happen, a solution to come forth. And then on top, you're basically making your life hell by worrying. Now, for anyone who's going through dire straits, whether you're waiting for the paycheck to come through, whether you're trying to secure a job, whether you're trying to figure out if your relationship is going to sustain itself, or people coming out of a relationship, whenever you're dealing with uncertainty, you want more clarity in life, you want things to go ideally your way. Your way may not necessarily be the best way in the divine blueprint. Somehow you find yourself where you have the choice to worry. Most people do it on autopilot. They don't just stop and say, okay, I'm going to start worrying about it. But I have learned from life experiences in a very harsh form, very early on in life, worrying doesn't do anything. And when you really think about it, if you claim you are a person of faith, regardless of what type of belief system you adhere to that actually nourishes you to prosper in life, I remember, and I've shared this anecdote on a few occasions, I was driving, and once in a blue moon, when if I ever turn on the radio, I came across a sermon, and the pastor was talking about faith and anxiety. And he commented that if you claim to be a person of faith, there's no room for fear and worrying. And it got me thinking. I said, well, if I believe I'm a person of faith, then yeah, I can't be worrying, because I can't be worrying and saying I'm a person of faith. That contradicts one another. So there has to be a certain degree of trust that we develop within ourselves to trust life around us. If you don't trust ourselves, you're not going to trust anyone outside of you. You're not going to trust life. You're not going to trust the people that come in your path unless they're giving you a reason not to trust them. If we don't give to ourselves, we can't give to others. I can only trust life around me to the degree that I trust myself. So oftentimes, some people come and they complain about this is going wrong, this is going wrong, and everything is a negative, negative, negative. I tell them, well, could you blame these people and for life for putting you on the bench? You have no trust in life. You need to give life a reason to trust you. And I'm going to circle back to that later down the road. Worrying doesn't do anything. I know for anyone listening to this saying that, well, it's so easy for you to say that. Well, I don't expect you to know my life story in one little segment, but I've learned the hard way. Conserve your energy, do something positive with it, or better yet, don't do anything. You know what is better than worrying? Just be still. When we're running our mouth to function, when we're running around physically in the literal realm, and we're constantly bombarded by all of this noise, when do you have time to be still? Sometimes the answer is so close within you, but you won't pick up on it because you're constantly engaging in some active action, thinking that the answer will come if, as long as you keep moving, metaphorically speaking. And sometimes that clarity will come zap you like lightning if you learn to become more still. Now, for some people, it's easier than others. For me, I had to develop that and then learn how to maintain it. And another aspect of happiness before we move on, I treat it like the sun. Some days the sun will come out, it will shine bright, you know it's there. Other days it will hide behind the clouds. And then there are going to be moments where the sun doesn't come out. But even though we don't see it, the sun is there. But long story short, whether the sun comes out or not, my life will go on. Time will continue moving forward. Whether the sun comes out or not, I still have to get out of bed and fulfill my life obligations day to day. For example, if you're a parent, if the sun doesn't come out, are you going to make your children starve and say, deal with it? No, life goes on. So don't treat happiness like it has to be there in order for you to show up for life every day. It's going to run like the sun in an ebb and a flow. But ultimately, it comes from within you. And finally, life isn't a competition about who has it bad. It's not about what you're born into or what you're not born into. It's about working with what you have before you go reinventing the wheel. Sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to go reinvent the wheel so that I don't have to deal with the mess that I already created. But even the people out there in history who went out and recreated a new wheel that was needed, they still started off by working with things that they already had in their life, in front of them or around them. So work with what you have before you go out and recreate things, because we might create something great that is novel, or you might just recreate a mess that you are trying to escape from. Next, action. Planning is not enough. Reflect upon what you want to actualize. No harm to self and no one. At times, I come across people and they lack emotional self-regulation. Some people are too impulsive, some people are too reactive. They're at different periods of their life. They may be adopting behaviors that they grew up around subconsciously. Other people have adopted it through a choice because they have so much angst and they view it as, if life isn't going well for me, it shouldn't be going well for other people. I'm talking about mature actualization. It takes work, not childish nonsense of, well, if I can't have it, I don't want the other person to have it. But if that is how you truly live your life, and you cannot complain about why life doesn't bring you more abundance, or it brings you limited abundance, or it could be premature. You get a glimpse of what you see, what you want, what you desire, but out of the blue, something happens outside of your control and it melts away. Create a strategy. What do you want? Why do you want it? The why is very important. If you desire things and you bring them to life for the wrong reasons, it's not going to sustain itself. How are you going to go about it? Talking about it for a brief period of time is fine because it will help you work through your mental process for creating a plan. But having a plan and then talking about it into oblivion will not do anything. What are you going to do? Planning is not enough. So if you have questions about it, go seek out the right resources, talk to the right people. Now, when I reference people, there are times where I meet seasoned adults who have done a lot in life, but they want to pursue something in new in a different career path. And they're waiting for that one person to walk into their life, wave a wand, and change everything around. It doesn't work that way. No one is going to do the work for you. And often in my sessions, I tell my audience members, I'm not going to carry you on my back and take you to the finish line because I respect you too much that I'd rather teach you how to go fishing than throw fishes your way. Now, of course, in a very rare instance where it's something, a life emergency or a sensitive situation where a person cannot help themselves, that's where I reserve that degree of compassion and resources for. Otherwise, it's very important to me that each individual out there can learn to empower themselves. And even the word empower, I'm not too crazy about because it's so overly used to the point where it has lost meaning, at least in my opinion. Now, learn how to execute your plan. Don't freeze in the planning stage. A plan is only a plan. That's similar to dreams. They call it dreams for a reason. Too many people think and they talk and they talk and they talk. Don't waste your energy and don't waste other people's time doing that. It might feel good while you're talking about it, and I'm not here to suppress your desire to do more, but talking about it has a time and place. But after a while, people around you are going to question, depending on what you're working on, how are you bringing it to life? Which is why execution is easier when you set boundaries for yourself and for what you are manifesting. Now, if you lack boundaries because you grew up not being taught that or being aware of what it is or watching other people around you practice healthy boundaries, whether it has to do with how people speak to you, how people treat you, how you treat your time, how you respect your resources. And remember, when something doesn't pan out well and you go, this is happening to me, ask yourself, what role are you playing for that condition to be playing out? Are you enabling bad behaviors? Are you just coexisting with people that you know that are lying to you? Time doesn't solve problems. Time will either make them worse unless we step in and do something about it. But it makes more sense if you're part of the situation that you're bringing the solution. And if it has to do with people that have nothing to do with you, you need to know when to walk away from that. That itself is the action dictated by the decisions you make. And if you coexist with it for a long period of time, you have no one to blame but you. Now, if you have no standards, then you can't complain for life becoming stagnant. Life will treat you the way you treat it. And I know that by crossing paths with people, there are some who have very strong opinions, as they should. They have the right to an opinion, not the right to facts that belong to everybody else. If life will meet you halfway, you're not willing to put in the work. Not everything in life is going to be 50-50 because that looks good on paper. But in reality, you have to figure out with the type of relationships and commitments you take on, how you define balance. Balance does not always mean 50-50. You might want to split up, let's say hypothetically, in a relationship that could be with you or the company you work for, or you and another human being that you're in a relationship with, or you as part of a family member. You might determine balance is dictated by who has the strengths and weaknesses to do certain chores that align well. That also helps with time management, efficiency, and maintaining some emotional harmony under the roof. So you have to figure that out. And finally, become the change you seek in the world and in your life. I grew up hearing that, and it didn't really resonate with me until I started engaging in different aspects of life. And I'll use a business example. Become the type of customer you want to attract and engage. At times, I cross paths with business owners. They bring their challenges to me, whether it has to do with learning how to refine their skills and managing their employees better, learning how to refine the decision-making process and techniques of hiring better employees in their company, or learning how to sell. Whatever they do for their mission, they might want an objective critique of what is going on. And I often tell them, do your best to become the type of consumer or client or patient that you're trying to serve in the market. If you yourself are someone who has no respect for money, if you don't have respect for $1, you're not going to have respect for 10, 1,000, 10,000. I've seen that over and over again. People think that once they hit a certain tier, then all of a sudden you're going to start caring about life. How you do small things is indicative of how you do greater things. If you do a poor job at how you're trusted with something as small as a dollar, they're not going to trust you with $1 million. Think about it. If you are the type of consumer who likes to buy stuff, use it, and then return it or sabotage the transaction and stuff, those are the type of people you're going to end up attracting. You're going to be shady out there. You're going to attract shady down the road. You're going to lie your way to get something, then you're gonna find yourself embroiled in some shady situation down the road. And no one is perfect, but this is typically the type of clientele base I work with. They know better. And for those who work really hard, regardless of whether you've been out for a year, 3 years, 30 years, 25 years, have faith in yourself. If you truly are working hard and smart, and with integrity, and you're human, which means you are prone to error, don't become anxious by exhibiting lack of confidence in the process. Just because other people are joining the space does not mean that the universe is taking anything away from you. I recall one incident where there was a third party that sought me out because there was a campaign that was being run. And I had just taken what I was given to share with the respective audience. And there was a minor, a clarification was needed. The third party sought me out and they were very nice about it. But I noticed that they were very reactive and they pointed out something and they said, well, there's another service that exists similar to this. And I've worked so hard building it that I don't want to confuse the audiences. I had no idea about it. I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. And I just clarified that on my end when I forwarded the message. But it got me thinking, if you've been working for that many years, do you not have any confidence in your audience that even if they showed up at the wrong door, they would figure it out? No one's going to take anything away from you. If you don't have faith in your audience or your customers and you start questioning their intelligence, then they're going to just reflect back being dumb. They're going to go wherever they feel like going. So don't discount your effort and don't discount yourself in the process. Like, here's an example. You're welcome to go to sashatalks.com, learn about me. I'm not the first Sasha that ever landed on Earth, and I'm pretty confident I won't be the last one. But if somebody ends up mixing up my identity with another one, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. In fact, I know some of these Sashas out there with other Sasha talks, and we joke around that we're neighbors, and they know that I would welcome them on my platform. But keep in mind, either you're putting life into the world or you're just self-sabotaging your ability and drawing air out. Figure out, are you filling up the tire or are you puncturing the tire that you're relying on to drive you forward? Now, another aspect of change I want to touch upon quickly is you want to bring positive change. It takes time, effort, reliable and consistent effort day to day, not something where you wave the wand, you wake up one day, you're feeling wonderful and you're going to go out and make it happen. And then you wake up the next day, you feel like crap and you go, I'm going to just nix that goal and just be. Keep the flow moving forward. You're a human. You're going to have good days. You're going to have great days. You're going to have bad days. But those bad days, as long as they're not too bad, they're needed because it helps you frame your perspective to learn how to be thankful for those good days. And also, when you put in the effort, it has way more meaning than somebody just giving it to you. So do your best not to manipulate, lie, or engage in short-term narcissistic cures that will lead you to nowhere. It will give you that high because you feel you're doing something, but it's not going to be fun and games when you're struggling down the road, which is why, in fact, you should find yourself in circumstances where you could extract healthy resources from life. Engage with positive people. If you like to read literature, be mindful of the sources because, again, there's always good information, there's bad information. Even with the information that I relay, which comes from professional expertise, life experiences, and formal literature, I always say I include myself in that category. One size does not fit all. Do your research before you go seeking out what you're looking for. But you might know what you're looking for, and then you're doing your research. And in order to manifest the change that you desire, remember, you have the most greatest and most valuable gift that I've been harping about from the day that I came out. Free will. Free will is the most powerful and valuable gift. Not enough people apply it because they feel more secure if a third party tells them what to do. A third party makes a decision for them. So when things don't pan out, you have someone to blame. That's not how life works. Life is tough, but it's worth living. And finally, the goal is to learn how to prosper more than subjecting ourselves through our free will in dire circumstances. When things don't pan out and you could find yourself in a pattern and you're disappointed, it will happen, it's life, but don't expect it to happen every time because you should be learning new ways of moving forward so you don't do the same thing a thousand times and then find out why you have the same outcome a thousand times. When unfortunate things happen, I hear people just throwing in the towel and saying, well, it was meant to be, or this is what God wants it to be, or oh, I'm unlucky, I'm born with bad luck. And you just surrender to this quote unquote fixed blueprint of life. That's not your blueprint of life. I'm yet to hear of any universal source out there who would not want to see a human being thrive unless they choose to sabotage their own well-being and they make a choice to not engage. The quality of life will be dictated by the degree of engagement we honor. And I know there are different seasons of life. Some chapters are going to be running through them and enjoying it. And then there are going to be some chapters where life wants you to slow down intentionally so you could reflect upon your decisions and figure out what was working well and what isn't working well. And consider it a blessing, because I know that when life slows down a bit too much, it can be very frustrating and everybody can react from emotions ranging from anger to anxiety and distress. And then there's a small percentage of population that is organically evolved to learn how to coexist with it and make time work in your favor. Allow time to become your enemy. If you think 24 hours are too much, I don't know what to tell you. Once upon a time, I thought, okay, a day should be 48 hours. I was nuts to think that, but I could forgive the 20-year-old in me. 24 hours are perfect. If we don't know how to manage 24 hours, we're not going to manage more time better. It just means that we need to reflect within and figure out what our priorities are, and that will help us improve the flow. So to wrap it up, this is, again, just a nugget out of many different ways that you could go about this. Five ways to elevate your flow in life. And if I sound a little bit off, thank you for your patience. I've been dealing with sinuses today. And if you would like to learn more about me, go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, drop a hello. If you have a topic recommendation, I look forward to considering it. Until next time, be good, be safe, and be blessed.
Now get your best together.
Go!
Bring your good friends too. Cause it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Now come and join the lift.
You know, it's not so far from you.
And it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding loud.
Right.
On the peace train.
Oh.
Come on, peace train.
Peace train.
Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live a bit? On the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. A peace train, take this country, I'll take it home again. Peace train sounding loud,
ride
on the peace train. Come on, peace train. This peace train, hold it low.
Everyone, jump on the peace train.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's coming.